I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lie in mainstream media. And maybe the misdirected pollsters we'll see by tomorrow. And the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers. It is not a safe space today for the two-party propaganda. Now, I'll play today. I'd like to see the GOP retain control just because the Democrats seem to need a timeout. As many problems as I've got with the Republican Party, particularly as a libertarian, as corrupt as they become, we'll talk about that. What do we do? I mean, what do we really do? They have really got us in a crack. The alternatives are so bad. You're just, you know, there is this lesser of two evils. It's the choices are just so bad, particularly for somebody who believes in constitutionality and small limited government, these kinds of things. But the Democrats, you need a timeout for a little while. You need to go to just a quiet space and be alone with your thoughts, kind of regain your composure, and then we'll see if maybe there's a chance for you down the road to regain some ability to govern without the hysteria. And it pains me. It just really pains me. I'm mad at the Democratic Party. Now, I don't think I've ever voted for a Democrat. I do not believe in the leftists. Idea of government certainly rebel against socialism. But there's been parts of the liberals' heart that I could always appreciate, and I think we could come to some agreement on many of those things. But they've lost all that stuff, and they've just become a hysterical mass of nerves, each one touched off by a word or a phrase or a glance or a touch. It's just time for the Democrats to take a time out and reassess what they're going to do. Now, I have no confidence that they will actually do that. But they forced me into really cheering today for the Republican Party to retain some level of control. Unfortunately, what they do with that is not going to be good. This is not a safe space today for the two-party propaganda necessarily, but it is a safe space here today for the truth. We're going to kind of take a look at the political system. I got a couple of questions for both Republicans and Democrats as we, whatever happens today, however we come out of it, there's some really kind of deep underlying questions we should be asking. We don't, largely, as a people. We don't ask these questions because we're so blinded to the team game, the red versus blue, the Republican versus Democrat, the right versus left. We're so busy fighting on Facebook with somebody who disagrees with Kanye or supports Kanye, you know, whatever ridiculous arguments we're into. We're going to talk about some of those things. And we're also, I've got some Tech Tuesday stuff today. And depending on where the conversation goes, with the midterms being so important today, I've got some story. Well, it's just one tech story that came out. I think I just saw it yesterday. Just made my skin crawl. And the ladies are not going to like this one at all. And there's a new technology that I predict will be the next big thing in divorces. Yes, there's a technology out there that I think is going to play an integral part in divorce court. Right now it's Facebook, but there is a new technology out that is going to be very interesting to see when it finds itself in divorce courts. So today is E-Day. It's Election Day. You have a prediction? You have anything you'd like to weigh in on about that today? The Mazda Jackson phone line here, 601-879-0002. I am still looking for the mythical Cindy Hyde-Smith voter, the unicorn Cindy Hyde-Smith voter. This is your last chance. I mean, I don't know. how much free airtime I've got to give someone to come on and speak up for Cindy Hyde-Smith. This will be the, I believe, 26th time I've asked for somebody to call and make an impassioned plea. Now, again, if you know her and you think she's really nice, you can call and say that, but that's not a voting thing. She might be a perfectly nice woman. I did see a campaign ad from Cindy Hyde-Smith that, I don't know. Look, I'd like to say I'm a city boy. I'm definitely not a country boy. I was born in New York, only lived there for a few years, and came down and lived most of my life in Mississippi. So I'm a Southerner, but I'm definitely not a country boy. Never lived out in the country. Now, I'd call myself a city boy, but I don't even have the grit of a city boy. I'm really a suburban boy. I mean, it's just about as vanilla as it gets. I'm a suburban guy. So I don't know the farm life. I admire it. I know people who are in it. I think it's pretty fascinating. But I'm definitely no farm guy. But I saw a commercial the other day with Cindy Hyde-Smith, and she was out. I don't know what she was doing. She was feeding a chicken or petting a dog or something. And she may have some credibility on the farm. She was what? She was agriculture commissioner. So she may have some credibility. But I just couldn't help noticing that her jeans were pressed. She had a very definite seam, you know, a crease that went down the front of her jeans. Now, again, maybe this is normal. Maybe this is a style for women. I've been wearing basically the same thing for the last 30, 40 years of my life. A button down or a polo or t-shirt and jeans. I mean, that's just who I am. So I mean, it's not fashion. It just kind of caught me. Like, it didn't feel real genuine down on the farm, hardworking thing. There was a very definite, almost looked like a starched crease down the front of her jeans. Just, I don't know. As I say, maybe that's a thing. Just a suburban boy's observation on that. But this is your last chance. You can call in and explain to us how you believe that Cindy Hyde-Smith is up for the job. If you think she's going to make radical changes, is she bringing bold new ideas, or is she a placeholder for the Republican establishment here in Mississippi, which is what I surmise? And the phone lines are crickets again. You know, here's what Election Day is. Here's what Election Day has become in around the country, not just here in Mississippi, around the country. And we all know that this is very true. It's a long line of people who are either uninformed or misinformed going to the polls around the country to vote on people to boss us around. I mean, most of the information that people use to vote for somebody and sometimes even against somebody is based on wildly false information. Now, that's just not just the fake news. It is just the whole narrative of the world. I've got a clip today of something that is just a perpetuated lie, a perpetuated talking point. This one happens to be on the right. But there's plenty on the left, too. So we've got this huge parade of people going to exercise based on what? Based on, you know, knowledge that is an inch deep. You know, I think a lot of the problems that we're running into now, and it's strange to me because we finally have unlocked the key to essentially all knowledge in this internet thing we have. Everybody has immediate access to basically everything that's ever been studied or everything that's ever been researched in the history of the world. Yet we spend it. We take this great tool that we've got, and very few people actually invest it to get true knowledge. And instead, we've used it to further segregate ourselves. We've used it to get an inch deep in stories rather than to really find out what's truly going on. Some people just flat out use it for entertainment, and that's fine too. I don't expect everybody to pay attention to politics and want to get into the nitty-gritty of the things and even dig down into the truth behind the things like the wars or the war on terror or the police state that we're setting up, the surveillance state. I don't expect a lot of people But for 20% of us, somebody's got to pull this cart. There's kids depending on us. Some of us have got to have some real knowledge. And boy, very few actually use this incredible tool to actually gain real knowledge. Instead, skimming across the surface and allowing people to tell you what you should think. So what are we going to end up with? 150 million uninformed or misinformed people are going to vote on this. People that are going to boss us around for the next 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, whatever it is. As a libertarian, as somebody who has kind of sees this from a bird's eye view rather than down in the trenches slinging away on one side or the other, it's really a little depressing. And it's what bolsters my idea of the libertarian idea, which is I don't think anybody in Cleveland or San Diego or Bangor, Maine should be voting on anything that affects us here in central Mississippi. If they want to go nuts in Portland, Oregon, that's Portland, Oregon's problem as far as I'm concerned. The problem is we have allowed this government to grow so big that when they go nuts in Portland, Oregon, the ripple effect lands in the schools of Jackson, Mississippi, or in the social programs in Tupelo. And when you finally realize the insanity of that, that this little group of guys and gals up in Washington, D.C. control 321 million people, when you finally get hip to that game and go, yeah, we're never going to be happy with this. This just doesn't work. When you finally get fed up with that, then you start to ask the questions that really, really matter. Today, it's just partisan warfare. And I got to say, I'm weighing in on the Republican side on this one. Democrats, you need a timeout. Just chill out. Be alone with your thoughts. Come back at us when you've got a little, you know, you do this with kids sometimes, don't you? You give them a timeout. When they're just acting out and they're hysterical and they're having a temper tantrum, you just tell them, you go to your room and you think about what you've done and come out when you're sane. That's what Democrats need. They need at least a good two-year timeout. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. All right. Well, I've gotten a secondhand account of Cindy Hyde-Smith voters, and it is just as I suspected. Tell me I don't have any political insights. So they're voting for Cindy Hyde-Smith because they don't know anything about Chris McDaniel and because Trump said to vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith. I knew it. So this was the tragedy of this endorsement on Trump's part. And the excuse-making on the Trump supporter side is, well, he's just playing politics. Mitch McConnell wants Cindy Hyde-Smith, so Trump has to play the game so that McConnell will do the things that he wants to do, blah, 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 blah. Essentially, Trump came into Mississippi and campaigned against himself. He spent 18 months out there hitting the trail talking about busting up the established order in this country, which is what drew a lot of people to his campaign, and then came to Mississippi and said, let's go with the establishment guy, and he campaigns against the anti-establishment person. I'm telling you, if Cindy Hyde-Smith wins this thing, and again, I am ready, I am sitting here ready to hear what I'm missing on Cindy Hyde-Smith, her credentials as a true small guy. I just find it hard to believe. I would have to see some kind of a burning bush moment with Cindy Hyde-Smith that she went from a 2008 Hillary Clinton voter. I would give her more credibility if she was a Barack Obama voter. She voted for Hillary Clinton. People can move from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party and vice versa and change their mind. That's okay with me. I don't care. You know, there's plenty of people who grow up liberal and maybe get into their 20s liberal and then get out and start paying taxes and go, holy crap, I'm not voting for this anymore, and they move over to another side. So that's fine. Now, I would suspect there was some political expediency with her choice to move parties, but maybe she had a genuine, soul-searching, aha moment and moved over to the Republican Party. But Hillary Clinton, what kind of judgment do you have to be behind somebody that is that manifestly corrupt? As I said, at least there were people who had hope that Barack Obama was kind of the anti-establishment Democratic candidate. Now, we were tricked on that one. I got to hand it to Obama. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. He was good. He was smooth. He was black at exactly the right time in American history. He had a kind of a calm demeanor. He really took the left and tricked them. He tricked some people on the right. You know, we weren't freaking out when Barack Obama was elected. I think there was not much enthusiasm for a John McCain presidency, and I almost feel like I'll have to thank Barack Obama for that one tiny little thing, which was he spared us a John McCain World War III presidency. But boy, he tricked a lot of people. So I could understand Cindy Hyde Smith falling for the Barack Obama game, but seriously, the Cindy Hyde Smith, Hillary Clinton vote? That one I don't quite get. But if Donald Trump came in here and plugged in an establishment person because people just listened to his words, and again, as I say, with all of this access to information and research that you can do, most people do not do it. They don't do it. They just want somebody to come. I mean, I said yesterday, is it really, you know, the Drudge headline was Party Luminaries Hit the Campaign Trail. And I said, does this really matter? Well, I guess I just think too much. Just tell me. Yes, Mike, it does matter. Most people want to outsource their thinking to somebody else. So if they vote for one person and say they like one person and that person tells them to do anything, they just do it because that's easier than actually doing their own research and thinking for themselves. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am still with you.
Hey.
I wanted to say you were saying how Cindy Hyde Smith traded sides. She was once a Democrat and now she's a Republican.
Yeah.
But one of them, I know this is probably a very simplistic reason, but one reason why I did not, because I've already gone to vote, Cindy Hyde Smith, is because she's wishy-washy. I kind of feel that I'm the type of person where it's either black or white, and there's no gray with me. You need to make a decision and stick with it. Now, you could learn of something that makes you change just somewhat, but I don't think she changed to being a Republican because she truly believes in the Republican values.
Yeah.
I also feel that she is one of the boys network, or however you said it.
Yeah, the good old boys network, good old boys and girls network. She's a girl, but she's made it in the club. You know, she's part of the club. And I thought the club was what people voted against with Donald Trump. I thought the club is what everybody was fed up with. And now we
yes, I am fed up with the swamp.
Yeah.
Wanting to drain the swamp. But I would like to start with Bill Bryant. He really made a mistake by appointing her. I was hoping that he would appoint Chris McDaniel, but he didn't.
Oh, no.
That made me think he must be part of the old boys network as well.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest things on Chris McDaniel's side. And whether people know him, I mean, he's been smeared. I don't know the guy personally. I don't know what he's like to deal with. Some people have said he's harsh or something like that. But, I mean, that should be Chris McDaniel's. It should be just about the only thing he needs to run on is that they don't like me. The establishment doesn't like me. And, I mean, that it seems like that carried the day with Donald Trump. I mean, Mississippi voters had, I don't know who all was in the primary when they got here. But, you know, we had Bushes and Rubios and Kasichs. And we had all the establishment Republican players. And Mississippi chose Trump. And then the country and Republicans chose Trump, the outsider. And now I just find it hard to believe that Cindy Hyde Smith, the ultimate insider, is now the candidate. And I agree with you. I don't know why that was the best they could do. I think they could have put up another candidate that I probably wouldn't have as much of a beef with, but I don't understand this one.
All righty. That was all I wanted to say.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Have
Thanks so much.
Day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I mean, that's why I've opened the platform up here for weeks now for someone to come up and tell me, well, here's what happened. Here's where she came to this. Here's what she wants to accomplish. I mean, I'm telling you. And so let me say this, too. I mean, they played this clip about, I guess McDaniel put this out, cut up the clip where it says that she voted for a bill that did include funding for Planned Parenthood. Well, so did Roger Wicker. Has Roger Wicker faded any heat for any of that kind of stuff? Roger Wicker is... It's like a ghost standing in front of white wallpaper. I mean, he's just nowhere. He's just there. He just keeps going back. I don't see a lot out of him. Certainly no change. Certainly no rattling of the establishment. He just keeps going back. I will be going to vote for the Libertarian candidate. I will know that the chances are very slim, one in a million, that the Libertarian candidate will win. But I want to see the numbers on the Libertarian side go up. I want the Republicans actually to start getting nervous about taking everybody's vote for granted. And the establishment in Mississippi should be nervous right now. Now, James Tulp, on his show this morning, and I didn't run into him at the studio today and didn't have time when I got here, he said he's seen a poll where Chris McDaniel is a point ahead of Cindy Hyde Smith. That would not surprise me because I cannot find the unicorn that is the Cindy Hyde Smith voter out there. Now, I've seen a buttload of signs out there. She definitely had cash to put her name all over the place. But I'll tell you right now, if Donald Trump came to Mississippi and changed that vote, that his endorsement actually meant something to people, he should have given some kind of little wink, some kind of high sign, some kind of little, hey, I'm doing this for political reasons, but please, for the love of God, don't vote for this establishment candidate. Then I would have some respect for him. But, you know, everybody wants to give their guy a pass for everything. You know, if the Republicans are in control and they don't get stuff done, it's because they didn't have quite enough people. They need a supermajority to do this. If they're in the minority, well, they would never have, you know, all the debt that Obama ran up, we never would have done that. Then, with, you know what I mean? There's always this. There's always somebody to blame. And Trump supporters need to be upset about the fact that he came here specifically and played politics. He played the swamp's game. And he shouldn't have done that. Why can he not just say, look, if she's a good candidate, she'll win. But I'm not going to weigh in on this one. It's a different kind of election there. If she was the only Republican running and she was running against a Democrat, I'm down in Mississippi endorsing her in a hot minute. But that's not what it is. The Republican voters in Mississippi need to decide what they want to send to the runoff. But he weighed in on this thing. And people should not be happy about that. Don't give him a pass. Well, he's playing the politics game. I thought he went there to break up the politics game. I thought he went there to upset that kind of good old boy backdoor deal. Okay, I got
to
call him.
I want to share something with Mike.
Hey.
I just voted.
Yeah.
And, what he was talking about, people voting for CHS just because Trump said to. At the polls, I was the only blonde, shall we say, in a moderate long line. But after I scanned my ballot, I looked at the lady and I said, oh, we get a mint this year. And she said, honey, it ain't like I gave you nothing. You already paid for it.
Yeah.
And when I was driving home, I heard Mike talking about, you know, people just vote.
Well, hey, you're on the show. This is Mike. You're on the air. So tell us, so what do you think? What's your view on this?
Well, what you were saying is that, you know, people just knee-jerk vote for Cindy Hyde Smith, and that is correct. But I got the impression I was in line with a lot of African-American conservatives. And in order for them to be that, they tend to be a little more concerned and do their homework a little more, a little better informed. So perhaps we might get a little bit of action from them on that end, hopefully.
Well, did you get a sense for enthusiasm for her or for McDaniel?
Didn't talk politics too much in there, but the people I was conversing with and joking around with in line did seem to be a little better informed and, you know, smarter, I guess, than what you would expect. So,
well, that's good news. I guess we'll see exactly how that turns out. I mean, as I say, my problem is I just haven't met anybody who's excited about her candidacy. So it's just weird that the last polls I saw, she was significantly ahead of Chris McDaniel, but apparently they're saying their polls that's tightened up considerably.
Well, we can cross our fingers and hope, but I'm also going to take the advice you gave the Democrat. I'm going to go to my safe space.
Yeah.
Going to spend the rest of the day fishing and playing ukulele.
Right,
I will finish listening to you first.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, any community, I mean, everybody should be doing more research on this stuff. And I think that this show should be a part of it, to be honest with you. I'm going to play the Sean Hannity clip from the Trump thing. You know, Sean Hannity, look, what am I going to compete with Sean Hannity? Who the hell am I compared to the great Sean Hannity? But I'm telling you, Fox News is a Judas goat. It keeps you in the establishment game. And his comments on stage are, he makes one comment that just drives me nuts. I can't help it. I'm just going to bust up propaganda wherever I find it. I don't care if it's on the left or the right. Man, if people really knew how this world worked. I mean, we're actually kind of seeing how this world works. We know that Donald Trump came here and endorsed Cindy Hyde Smith as some kind of a backdoor political deal. But the fact that people listen to it and we get another establishment player in Washington, D.C. because of it should outrage us. It's the political deal is not worth that. If Donald Trump is not strong enough to resist Mitch McConnell sending him to Mississippi to endorse the establishment candidate here, then what good is Donald Trump? How strong is he somewhere else? I mean, he hasn't gotten the wall. Obamacare is not done. What has Mitch McConnell given Donald Trump to tell him, hey, get down to Mississippi and support the hand-chosen, spoon-fed candidate to the people there? They know Donald Trump's got a lot more power in that relationship than I would think that Mitch McConnell does. And Mitch McConnell's trying to save his own butt, I'm sure. He wants establishment candidates up there that keep him in charge. But, man, aren't the people in Mississippi sick of Mitch McConnell? I get the feeling they are. But they're about to send him another foot soldier. It's insane. Just on the word of Donald Trump? Seriously? I don't know. It's a head-scratcher. Hopefully I'll be pleasantly surprised tomorrow. We'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
Well, that was a little creepy during the break. Just now, right before I came on air, my cell phone started buzzing. And the caller ID is Washington, D.C. That's not my cell phone, not on the studio line, so... If you don't hear from me again, tell the world my story. You know, I try to focus on important things here. I don't think the average American has any idea the consequence of our foreign policy. And I've got stories that I just haven't been able to get to over the last week or so that are going to show you what the catastrophe of the way that the Trump administration, the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration ran foreign policy, because it is going to impact you, even if you don't have a kid in the military. Even if you're not active duty, this is going to, they are setting things up that is just going to crush the United States. Either bankrupt us first or destroy the U.S. dollar or something. And I'm going to prove that to you. But I do try to focus on some of the important things that other shows don't really get around to, because it's so much cheerleading and rah-rahing and deriding the other side. And I mean, that's on both sides, depending on whether you listen to conservative or liberal talk radio. I try to get to kind of the really the behind the scenes, the stuff that we should be able to unite about. But this thing about Cindy Hyde Smith's jeans is bugging me. Is it normal for a farmer, someone on the farm, to press their jeans? If you look at her campaign commercial, she's got a very defined, ironed crease in her jeans. Is this a style? See, again, I'm pleading ignorance on all this. I don't want to deride this or turn this into a campaign scandal if I'm just mistaken. I'm always prepared to be wrong. But I see the rugged farmer and the people who really get their hands dirty every day out there in the fields and tending to the cattle. I've never noticed a very defined crease down the front of their jeans. I noticed that in one of her campaign ads. So if that's just a thing and I should let it go, then I'm willing to take that advice. I'm going to tell you another quick consequence of war. See what you think about this. The voting age in the United States right now is 18. Should it be 18? You know, as we watch the social justice warriors, is it not terrifying to know that they can actually vote? Is it terrifying to know that these kids in Portland, Oregon with Antifa are pulling a lever right now that may have something to do with how much money out of your paycheck you have to give to the federal government starting next year, or probably the year after, actually? Isn't that terrifying to anybody? Should 18-year-olds be allowed to vote? Now, the reason I say this is a consequence of war, and just another one of these things that we don't really pay attention to. Do you know when the age was reduced from 21 to 18? And now I can probably make the argument, too. Should 21-year-olds be able to vote? Let me tell you how politically stupid I was when I was 18 and 21. I should not have been making any decisions that would affect really anybody else outside of myself. I was not capable of making good decisions just for myself. If there were 50 million me's when I was 18 or 21, it's terrifying to me. As much as I love myself and liked myself back then, I think I'm a decent human being, but I was ignorant at 18 and 21. If I got a chance to cast 50 million votes back when I was 18 or 21, God help us, I don't know what would have happened to this country. The 26th Amendment of the United States Constitution standardized the voting age to 18. It was adopted in response to student activism against the Vietnam War and to partially overrule the Supreme Court's decision in Oregon versus Mitchell. It was adopted on July 1st, 1971. If we were old enough to die in the Vietnam War, we thought we were also old enough to vote. And there's something to be said for that, absolutely. So another consequence of the Vietnam War is not only the 58,000 Americans that lost their lives, the millions of people in Vietnam, in Cambodia, and Laos that lost their lives in a pointless, unnecessary war. It also was responsible for outrage with the kids that we were packing up and shipping over there like meat puppets, and they rightfully demanded a way to try to vote that war down. 18-year-olds really should not be voting. I got to tell you, there's very, very, very few. Maybe with an IQ test, maybe some kind of a litmus test. 21-year-olds coming out of college with $60,000, $80,000, $90,000 in student loan debt. How do you think they're going to vote when one candidate comes out and says, hey, we're going to forgive those student loans and you're going to get free college? What should the voting age be? 25? Speaking for myself personally, as politically involved and interested as I am now, when I was 25, I was just starting to tinker around with the idea of being a warmongering, Kool-Aid drinking, Republican neocon piece of filth. It would be okay if I would go back to my former 25-year-old self and have a conversation and go, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. All you're doing is spouting out party talking points that you heard from Trent Lott. Yeah, I don't think we're going to give you the right to vote. 25, maybe it's 30. When should we be allowed to vote? Now, look, I've always thought that the youth of America are so easily swayed because they don't have a lot of life experience. They have to rely on, and here's the funny thing. I've told my kids this often. Respect older people, but don't think that they're all smart. And sometimes I've even said that in response to something dumb that I've done. You know, I'll tell them, look, adults make mistakes just like kids. Now, you respect people that are older than you. You show them proper respect. You respect your friends and everybody. But people that are older than you, you show them some respect. But don't think for a second that just because somebody has reached some age of majority, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, doesn't mean that they've really learned anything or are actually smart people. I don't know if there is a proper voting age. So should we go to maybe an IQ test? Is that elitist? Maybe a basic civics test that you have to take to vote? And again, see, in the libertarian minds, my mind, in the libertarian world, this doesn't really matter because if you went to go vote for a federal election, you're really voting for only a few little things the government is constitutionally mandated to do. So the worry is not, see, in the libertarian idea, we wouldn't be worried about every single midterm and every 4 years. There wouldn't be this consternation. There wouldn't be this fighting, this fear in everybody's stomach, the stress of, oh my gosh, you wouldn't see the crying after an election and the gnashing of teeth because they would be fairly powerless. Now, it would probably ratchet up on the state level in your state, but the beautiful thing about states' rights is if Mississippi goes wonky, hello, Alabama, Louisiana, Tennessee. You really don't have to move that far. You could still spend weekends with your friends and get into a state that actually appreciated things like free market capitalism or personal freedom or anything that you wanted to pursue. The problem is we're trapped in this giant gulag with a bunch of 18-year-old social justice warriors voting. And look, I've had several millennials come on this show that are so encouraging to me. There are some guys. I told one yesterday. As a matter of fact, it was Jordan Townsend. He's coming on the show tomorrow for Hump Day Health. He's with Naturally You, his nutritionist. I told him to kind of call the show tomorrow. Whatever he wants to talk about, I'm kind of open to whatever. I said, you know your stuff. He said, you've certainly done your research too. I said, yeah, but I wasn't as smart as you when I was your age. I wish I had been wiser when I was young. So look, I'm not sitting here saying other people shouldn't be allowed to vote. Only I should be allowed to vote because I'm so smart. No, I would look myself in the 18-year-old, 21-year-old, 25-year-old eyes and say, you should not be making decisions for anybody else. But see, because we sent those kids off to war, Vietnam, a war we should not have fought, because we're sending those kids to the Middle East right now in wars we shouldn't fight, because we're rattling sabers with Iran, then maybe these 18-year-olds should have a voice. Because we're asking them to lay down their lives for a bunch of politicians and bureaucrats in the deep state that keeps sending them off to fight and die, altering their futures for forever. So it's kind of hard for me to say, hey, you don't get to have a say, because we keep turning to them and using them as little geopolitical pawns that we send all over the world. So it feels like they do have some right there, but it's scary as hell. I mean, I don't know. There should be some kind of a test. I would drop voter ID for some kind of a civics test. Just some basics. I could probably put together a pretty good little piece. Just some questions. Not just the typical three branches of government, how many members of Congress. That would be maybe, those are the qualifiers. You know, maybe if you don't get out of those first 10 questions, you don't get to go on at all. If you make it through that level, then there's some other questions you should answer. Could be nonpartisan. One of my questions might be, do you have any idea how bad the two-party system has screwed up the United States? That might be one of my questions right there. I don't know. You know, let me just tell you, we're all watching this with great anticipation, with bated breath. We're trying to figure out who will boss us around come 2019. Who will be in charge of our bank accounts? Who will be in charge of our paychecks? Who will be in charge of where our kids are sent to fight needless wars? So we all sit here and worry about that. Let me tell you who's not nervous today. Let me tell you who doesn't care. The lobbyists, the special interests, they don't care because they always win. And I'm going to talk about that when I get back. There's a couple of questions for both the left and the right. Because it's just some strange things that these parties don't seem to get done. So while you and I gnash our teeth and say, gosh, we hope the Republicans maintain control, and the Democrats say, oh my gosh, I hope we can take this back, we're ignoring some of the bigger questions around this entire system. And maybe that's not fun for Election Day. Maybe today is just a day for rah, rah, go red. I understand that, but that's just not me.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
So I want to finish this point real quick, because as all Republicans and all Democrats are nervous today and waiting, and the polls are going back and forth, the headlines are contradictory, we don't know what's going to happen. We're also invested in this fight between the left and the right, the red and the blue, whatever. As I said, you know who's not nervous today is the lobbyists, because they fund both sides of these things. They'll be just fine no matter who takes over. Have you ever wondered if you're young, speaking to you 18, 21-year-old voters out there, you probably think the border is a new issue, because you've seen these things about the caravan. You've heard Donald Trump talk about building a wall. Let me tell you, Republicans and even Democrats back in the 90s and early 2000s, they've been talking about the border now for 30 or 40 years. Pretty seriously about the border. So for Republicans out there, do you ever wonder why the Republican Party, when they had total control under George W. Bush, didn't do anything about the border at that time? Democrats were against the border. Now we know, well, those Democrats want them to come across the border because they want the votes. Why did Republicans just leave this thing alone? How do they let those issues go for 30 or 40 years? You think there might be some special interest to benefit from illegal immigration? Maybe some big-time employers that get free labor? There's lobbies out there with big dollars that love illegal immigration. They don't have a problem with it. And I hate to tell you, it's not only George Soros. You ever wonder how the big banks let themselves get so crippled by the financial crisis? This was under the Bush administration, and I'm going to show you how this works both ways, on both sides of the thing. Because the banks knew they could do whatever they wanted to. They had politicians in their pockets on both sides of the aisle. Chuck Schumer, the Democrat, you know, the man of the people, he is known as like the rainmaker for Wall Street. Now, he's a New York senator, so that is his constituency, but that man can raise some Wall Street money. And then he has the audacity to go out and portray himself as a champion of the poor. See, the people, the banks knew they would get bailed out if there was a problem. That was already baked in the cake, so they could reach as far as they wanted to for profits, and if it just didn't work out, they'd be fine. For you Democrats out there, you ever wonder why the Obama administration did not ever prosecute a banker for anything? You ever wonder why Barack Obama took more money from the big banks than Mitt Romney or John McCain, his two opponents in the two elections that he stood for? Do Republicans ever wonder why the GOP added Medicare Part D, the largest entitlement since LBJ? And I'm sure there's people listening to that that love Medicare Part D, but understand, it's an entitlement, and it was given to us by Republican Congress, and it's swamping our budget. And will continue to do so. Ever wonder why the GOP and the Dems are both so hip on ethanol? Is it a coincidence that Iowa is a real bellwether for candidates that want to go through there running for president? There's a corn growers lobby. It's not good for engines, not good for mileage, as I understand. You ever wonder why both the Democrats and the Republicans champion these endless wars, why they both, with Bush and Obama administrations, both covered up the fact that Saudi Arabians were involved at a high level with the 9/11 attacks? And now under Donald Trump, it's not even discussed. One reporter gets killed. The whole world's in an uproar. But both parties have hidden this stuff from you. So I understand, by all means, keeping the Democrats out of power. But is there any chance to make the Republican Party any better than they are right now? Because we haven't held them accountable for the 40 years I've been paying attention. 30 years. I can't give myself enough credit in my teen and early 20 years. I just got through telling you how politically illiterate I was in my teens and early 20s. But is there any chance of making this party any better? I'd be happy for them to have some power if they were just a little bit better. Look, the lobbyists are not nervous today. The special interests are not nervous today. Today's another day for them. They're having a cocktail, lunch, watching the polls. They may have a few favorites here or there that they'd like to see prevail that may or may not. But in the end, the lobbyists and the special interests after today, you may be happy or upset, but they are going to be just fine.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, here on Election Day. I guess there's one family who's not really concerned with the midterms today. You know, they just reported on the news that there was they reported about the family who lost the father of seven, the widow, and seven children, now without a father, as a casualty of the Afghanistan war. I didn't think we were still talking about people who died in Afghanistan. Well, the Pentagon stopped reporting troop levels around the world. I don't know if they report casualty levels. Do you know that the this'll crack you up? Did you know that the current commander of the Afghanistan, I think he's the 17th commander of the Afghanistan effort that we've been involved in now for 17 years? You know, he came out and said there's no military path to victory. Yeah, it was a couple of days ago. I don't blame you if you didn't hear it. Not many people heard it. It's not really reported on anymore. But this Iran war. Yeah, we need this Iran war, Mike. You don't understand. Yeah, I'm going to break that down in just a second, just because it was a part of campaigning. Yeah, that family doesn't care too much about the midterms today. Seven kids, now without a father. Wife without a husband. The parents are still alive. Parents without a children. For what? Yeah, but Mike, this Iran war. I mean, this is a serious one. We got to go to war with Iran. Yeah, the rest of them have all been bad, but this one's going to be a good one. Stunning, unbelievable. I found this kind of funny. I think most people would interpret today's elections as a referendum on Donald Trump. I am certainly on the record for the past year saying that I think he chose the wrong tact for including and bringing more people to his side. Now, if the Republicans sweep, and I think there's a chance that they could. I mean, I think they could increase Senate and House seats. I just find it stunning to think that Democrats are going to attract anybody with their message. They'll get that rabid 20%, and Donald Trump's got the rabid 20% on his side, but all those people in the middle are, you know, it's some of them are smart enough to stay out of the game and make decisions. You know what I mean? And a lot of people stay home and they don't vote. They may be the smartest ones out of all of us, because at least when they say don't vote, it just encourages them. I'm just like, go ahead and vote. I know people get mad at me when I say that. But the bottom line is, I don't think Trump's tone has been, I think he could have been a really popular president. I think he could be at 60, 65%. Because I ask you, if the economy is humming along like they say that it is, and people vote their pocketbooks, why are the Republicans not running away with this thing? Why aren't they just, the only narrative is that they're adding? Maybe you think the liberal media is just lying about the polls. We'll see by tomorrow, won't we? But you would think they would be running away with things, and you would think Trump would be at 60, 65%. I think his desire to surround himself with the base and be entertaining, you know, this is his style. This is who he is. I'm not saying there's anything right or wrong with it, but as far as effectiveness, I don't think it's been good to get more people to his side. So I've questioned the Trump tone. And many people have disagreed with me. They've said that he's keeping his enemies on his heels. And look, there have been some great consequences of this. The media looks like fools. The Democrats look like fools. I mean, there are people all around. I played that clip yesterday from Barbara Streisand, who has to eat herself and stuff her face with ice cream at night and play a game of gin rummy just to get Trump out of her head. These things do crack me up, too. But the bottom line is, while we might take a little bit of pleasure in some of those things and watching snowflakes melt in front of our eyes in the wake of Donald Trump, those things are fine. But isn't your goal, if you're on board with Trump's platform, and I'm on board with some and against some of it, but if you're on board with Donald Trump, wouldn't you want to see him get more popular? Anyway, I've questioned his tone. People have disagreed with me. But there's one person I never thought would agree with me, but it appears they do. And this was a big surprise. You know, you talk about of the most unlikely sources, the people who agree that maybe Donald Trump's tone has not been the best over the last couple of years came from the man himself when he did an interview, I believe, yesterday.
Talk to me about, this is something that I asked your predecessor about during his term. I asked President Obama, so I'll ask you the same thing. Is there anything, as you look back at your first almost 2 years, that you regret, that you wish on you, that you could just take back and redo?
Well, there would be certain things. I'm not sure I want to reveal all of them, but I would say tone. I would like to have a much softer tone. I feel to a certain extent I have no choice, but maybe I do, and maybe I could have been softer from that standpoint, but I want to get things done. We've had tremendous victories on trade. We've had tremendous victories on so many different things. On our military, you look at what we've done with rebuilding the military. But I would say if there's anything, I think tone would be perhaps something. I'm not sure that if I did that, maybe I'd be swamped. okay? You know, swamped meaning with the other side, because I wouldn't say their tone's been so nice either. But that would be something I would say that I'll be working on.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a bit of a no-brainer to me, to be perfectly honest with you. I just think that, you know, I said from the day he was elected, and I was here on Inauguration Day, covered it live. What a great time to start and talk radio, the Trump presidency. Always something to talk about. But I said, I mean, I thought he had an opportunity to be almost Kennedy-esque in the fact that he was kind of an outsider and, you know, he probably could go out and he wanted to make the economy better. I think if he had packaged it better, then we would not be in this nail-biter today. And again, maybe it's not. But it feels to me like this is a referendum on Trump. For every ounce of energy he has given his base and the Trump supporter, he has given an equal ounce to the other side. I would imagine we're going to see some level of record turnout in the midterms today. Of course, never underestimate the lethargy of people. Trump, the video's not loading. Let me see if I can do it again. I wanted to play this clip. There was a rally yesterday. President Trump said he eventually wants to unite the country during a raucous Monday campaign rally where he repeatedly attacked Democrats in the news media. Quote, I do eventually want to unite, but the fact is we're driving them crazy, Trump said inside a packed Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. They're going loco. So eventually he does want to unite everybody. See, here's the thing. Maybe this is just me personally, but don't you have a desire sometime to prove people wrong? If they say something about you, that's a great inspiration for all kinds of innovators in our society. They said it couldn't be done. I proved them wrong. I think Donald Trump could have gotten a ton of mileage with all the people that said he was a racist and a homophobe and just a showman and the rest of the things they hurled at him at MSNBC and in Hollywood and everything else. If he had proven them wrong and taken all the ammunition away from The View over the last 2 years, don't you think things would be in a better situation now? And I got to tell you, I don't think he has a responsibility to unite the country eventually. I think he has a responsibility to do it now. And the problem is he hasn't already done it. So what happens if the Democrats win and Trump comes out and says, okay, the midterms are behind us. It's time for us all to get along. It's time for us all to come together as one country. That is not going to be viewed well by people. It's going to be him saying, oh, okay, well, now that you're on this, you know, now that you lost control of the House, now you want to get along. It's not going to be viewed as any kind of a genuine effort. I mean, he's almost lost that window. I think Donald Trump had a responsibility over the past year, as violent as things have gotten, as nasty as things have gotten, it was his responsibility to pull himself out of the fray, step above it, and say, look, these things they're saying about me are not true, but we've got a free, whatever. I can't write a speech for him right now. But I think he had a responsibility to do that, and I think he's blown a huge opportunity. We'll see if that boomerangs back on him. But again, I say, if the economy is as good as they say it is, explain to me why the Republicans are not miles ahead right now. Because the Democrats have given nothing. Now, as much as I'll criticize the Trump tone, the only thing worse than that is the tone of the entire Democratic Party. It's pathetic. It's sad. It's juvenile. It's immature. It's hysterical. So the Republicans have benefited from that. But I'm telling you, this should have been a walk-away midterms. With the Democrats over there punching themselves out, it should have been a walk-away for the Republicans. I'm telling you, I think Trump's tone played into it, and I think he realizes it at this point, too. When I come back, I want to play this clip from a campaign thing where Sean Hannity comes on. The great Sean Hannity. I'm sure there's fans out there about to make you mad. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Today's election is not only just Republicans versus Democrats, it's Trump versus the everything. It's Trump versus the left. It's also Fox News versus CNN and MSNBC and the rest of the mainstream media. Now, I'll tell you, when I've got news on in the background, I will watch the Tucker Carlson show. Tucker covers some stuff pretty well. I don't agree with everything Tucker says, but he's got a pretty independent voice and touches stories that other people won't. Actually brings some fairly important things, like some real stories. But usually when I have news on in the background, I'm not really paying attention to it. I'm actually doing show notes. I'm looking at other stuff. I'm working around the house or something. I usually have Fox News on. Now, the reason I'm able to do that, number one, I don't want to support any other the other networks. The reason I'm able to do that is because I can get the headlines. I can hear what people are talking about. But I also have this ingrained propaganda filter. So it doesn't affect me like it most affects most people. See, most people turn on Fox News and they think they're just hearing the unbridled truth by a bunch of patriotic Americans. They all got American flags on their lapels. They're telling us the truth. The rest of that liberal media. And Sean Hannity is kind of the ringleader of that. Sean Hannity, who brought you Robert Mueller. Big praise for Robert Mueller for years and years when he was FBI director under the George Bush administration. Big cheerleader for people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell in the past. But now Sean Hannity has found his next thing is to back Donald Trump. That's fine. That's fine. But just don't think you're getting the truth from this guy. You're getting propaganda from him. Now, yes. You get propaganda on MSNBC, to be sure. You get financial propaganda on CNBC. I mean, you just cannot escape it. And that's where it's sad that we cannot use our independent thinking and the tools that we have with the internet, with unlimited access to knowledge, to actually decipher this propaganda. But it's strong, and I know most people don't pay attention. But this is Sean Hannity last night at this Trump rally. I'm sorry, he just drops one thing. I just can't let it go.
While we're talking about incredible people, let's get it over with, right? So I have a few people that are right out here, and they're very special. They've done an incredible job for us. They've been with us from the beginning also. I'm going to start by saying, Sean Hannity, come on up, Sean Hannity.
Now, look, if you support Donald Trump, which is fine, I voted for him myself, and you got somebody that's kind of fair to him or gives him a chance, I understand that. But do you believe you're getting the truth from a network that is basically featured at a Trump rally? Would you look at CNN any differently if they were actually hosted at an Obama rally or a Clinton rally? Would you think they're a trusted, unbiased, just giving you the straight scoop? I mean, you need to hold Donald Trump accountable too, you know. You can still support him, but we should still be interested in the truth. I don't know if that's the case or not, to be honest with you, but we should be. If Hillary Clinton won this election, this past in 2016, if she had won and had a cavalcade of CNN personalities come up on her network, conservatives would be outraged and pointing to the obvious fact that CNN would never report honestly on Hillary Clinton if we saw them paraded in front of a rally. And we would be right. This is just, I don't know, it's a little sad, but let me get to what Sean Hannity said that really got me fired up.
By the way, all those people in the back are fake news.
And it is the Fox News distancing itself from the mainstream media kind of cracks me up, I got to tell you. And again, when I have the news on, I usually have Fox Business or Fox News, usually Fox Business. At nighttime, maybe Fox News. But I've got this propaganda filter. It is funny to me that Fox News portrays itself as something outside of mainstream media. They're just one side of the propaganda machine, a different side than MSNBC, but they're still part of that system.
Mr. President, I did an opening monologue today, and I had no idea you were going to invite me up here.
They talk every night. Surely he had a heads up.
And the one thing that has made and defined your presidency more than anything else, promises made, promises kept, 4.5 million new American jobs, 4.3 million Americans off food stamps, 4 million Americans out of poverty, and we're not dropping cash loads or cargo planes of cash
to Iranian mullahs that chant death to America. Mr. President.
And there it is. I cannot let that stand anytime I hear it. Because I know people still believe this. Listen, let me just... Is anybody even interested in the truth about that story about the Iranian stuff? And I say this not as any lover of the Iranian regime, but as a pretty virulent, anti-endless, pointless war conservative. Like a real small government guy. Kind of like the Founding Fathers. Do I need to get in my Founding Fathers quotes? I'll bring those Founding Fathers quotes out if you need me to. Do you know why Iran got that money? Payoff blackmail. And I'm sure some of it probably went to bad places and some of the mullahs might have stolen some of it. Yeah, that's sure. That's true. Do you think we have an uncorruptible leadership in this country? You know, it's kind of like what I don't use the word Google anymore. I use internet search. I try very hard not to use the term leadership anymore. They're representatives of ours. Do you believe there's any corruption or any graft going on in Washington, D.C.? Yeah, me too. Yeah. So, yeah, the Iranian government probably, there was probably some nefarious parts about that. But do you know where that money came from? Because a lot of people operate on the misunderstanding that that was somehow taxpayer dollars, that we sent billions of dollars to the Iranians as some kind of a bribe to get this nuclear deal. It was their money. We eased sanctions on them. We unfroze some of their money. We gave them back money that they had given us in 1979 for some weapon systems. After they took over the U.S. embassy, we froze some of their accounts. It was their money. That's the first thing. The implication is, for people who don't understand this, is that somehow we bribed them with a bunch of taxpayer dollars. We gave them a bunch of money. If I steal money from you and I give it back, I'm not giving you my money. I'm giving you back your money. Number two, do you know why it was given to the Iranians in cash? Do you know that part of the sanctions, we cut them off the international system of transferring money? Now, maybe there was something in the background where they said, hey, we're going to do it in cash. Wink, wink, do whatever you want to with it. I'm not saying politicians are scumbags. In basically every country, 98% of politicians are pretty nefarious characters. But the bottom line is, I don't know there was really another way to do it. You don't send a check for how many ever billion dollars it was. And since we had cut them off from the international banking system as part of the things, we couldn't even transfer money to them. Now, we've redone that again. We've ramped up these sanctions. But to listen to Sean Hannity come up there and propagandize to more Americans on the conservative side to convince you that somehow we need to go to war with Iran and bring this Iran issue up, I cannot stand by and watch that happen over and over and over again. Turn me off if you want. Turn on Sean Hannity. You're getting propagandized to. If you're down with that, enjoy it, lap it up, call yourself a great American. But I just got to believe that we should be focusing on the truth of the matter. And as I report this heartbreaking story of this father of seven who has left a widow and all of those fatherless children now in this pointless Afghanistan war with the commander of Afghan troops right now, the 17th in 17 or 18 years that we've been there, I think it's the 17th in 17 years, he has come out and said there's no military solution to this. You think the Iran war is going to be easier than Afghanistan? Iran is not Iraq. And this conservative movement towards pro-war, you know, it's like today's election is not just red and blue, Republican and Democrat. It's almost welfare versus warfare. Problem is that Republicans kind of like some of the welfare programs if they go to certain people, and the Democrats kind of like the warfare system. Barack Obama brought them into that, so there's really just kind of tinkering around the edges on that stuff. But, man, conservatives, please. For all of our children that we're going to send to Iran, for all those teenagers out there right now that have got bright futures ahead of them, will you just check yourself for a second and realize Sean Hannity is just playing the neocon game he's been playing for years and years and years. He's been the bootlicker of people like John Bolton, the architect of the Iraq War. He now finds it convenient, and it has increased Sean Hannity's popularity, to get onto the Trump train now. So he's doing this now. But Sean Hannity has led us through this war on terror and these endless wars through the Middle East with basically a pom-pom in each hand. Do you know it's actually pom-pon? P-O-M-P-O-N. We all say pom-pom, but it is pom-pon. Isn't that odd? Tell me you don't learn something on this show. Come on, give it up. Where else are you going to hear the correct pronunciation of pompon? I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Searching the headlines during the break here just to see what's going on. You know, I'll be really surprised, pleasantly surprised, if we get through today's polling without any incidents of violence. It's gotten to that point where you really feel like it's a tinderbox. I said when the toy bomber sent his little tinker toy bombs to the predictable... I still think that was a false flag. I still think that was a setup. You know, they haven't matched his DNA. The attorney is saying the DNA evidence is very flimsy. Was this guy just a patsy? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever hear the end of that, you know, the truth behind that story. I'll keep digging into it. We don't know what happened with the Las Vegas shooter a year ago. I don't hold much hope that we're going to find out about this guy, the Psyoc guy or whatever. But it just feels like there is this tinderbox of things, and when that took off, I thought, you know, one of the things that I think that I would be worried about would be if I was a low-level staffer at one of the media organizations, that they might off one of them. See, these people don't care about human life. The same people that will send a bunch of kids off to war for some reason that they don't actually tell you, some money reason, some profit reason, certainly don't care about a low-level staffer at CNN. They'd sacrifice one of them to do some kind of a, you know, point to Trump for violence or something like that. I also said I wouldn't want to be in a heavily Democratic district somewhere that they would stage something there to create some violence. But there could be real violence too. I mean, is Antifa going to head to a conservative area and attack? I mean, it just feels like we're in this tinderbox. Donald Trump, the headline says Trump would prefer softer tone as president, but has, quote, no choice. And, you know, that's another thing I kind of rebel against. One of the things in my growing up process, becoming a more mature and I think wise, it certainly brings a peace to my life. One thing I realized that I had to realize is that you cannot control what other people do as much as you want to. Now, your kids, you should exercise some control over what they do. You're forming them. You're guiding them, sometimes forcefully, into doing things maybe they don't want to do, but you're the boss. If more people did that and actually raised their children rather than just setting them out into the world as snowflakes, we'd be better off. But you can't control what other people do as an adult in interactions, but you can control your response. That's and your reaction to them. And Donald Trump does not. He does have a choice. He absolutely does have a choice. He can do whatever he wants to. And I think a softer tone would have done him well. But anyway, so far I'm not seeing anything on violence, but I guess it's early in the day. Kind of feels like it may go over. We'll see what the controversy is tomorrow. Russian hacking, voting system problems. You know, I keep asking. I don't know if every polling place, every voting machine in Mississippi is all the same. I don't believe it is. I think I've talked to people who have done different kinds of machines. But I've always wondered, in all these places, it is so easy to do a backup on electronic voting machines. Okay, you go in, you place your vote, you hit send, and it's gone. It's just into the ether. You just assume that these things work well. Why wouldn't it just shoot out a little two-piece receipt, just like a credit card machine? And you've got a white copy and a yellow copy, and you look at them, and it says who you voted for. You take the white copy with you, you drop the yellow copy in a box, and they've got a backup. It's always suspicious to me that they don't do those kinds of things. Maybe some people do. Maybe some polling stations do. Maybe some voting machines do. I've never experienced that before. If you really wanted to have integrity behind elections, it seems like that would be one of the first no-brainer things to do. And I'm just some guy who's got a radio show, and I can figure that out. It almost feels like they want to leave themselves on both parties that little bit of wiggle room if they need to tinker here or tinker there. Is that a crazy thought? Do we trust them with the voting system here? I don't know. I've got a few technology stories. Now, let me do this, though. Let me put my final call out. I mean, this is it. It's crunch time here. I've got about 10 more minutes on the air. It's election day. 601-879-0002. Is the unicorn Cindy Hyde-Smith supporter out there anywhere that wants to call up and make an impassioned plea to get people to the polls to vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith for a particular reason? And you can't mention the word Donald Trump. You can't say Trump. You can't talk about the endorsement. I want to know what it is. I mean, I want to learn. I want to learn. Got a caller on the line right now. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I'd like to learn which two is to why it is. It's just like you say, when I voted this morning, it is a paper ballot, but it goes in a scanner, but you don't get anything showing that it registered correctly or anything along that line or any receipt.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too, that kind of gets me is, you know, when we went over in Desert Storm and lost all those lives and everything to give them the right to vote and to have free elections, and we actually, the United States was one of the biggest influences in them designing their elections to keep them, quote, from being corrupted. If you remember, what was going on after everybody voted? What was everybody showing off?
Their purple finger.
Their purple thumb, purple finger, right. Yeah. And here, when we design it, we don't want the fraud, but we come to our own country, and there's all kind of places that are just very, very ripe for fraud.
Yeah, and it feels to me. And
I agree with you very much.
Yeah, and there's constant. I had the girl who did black box voting. She did a great documentary on how these machines can be hacked. I mean, we had just a couple months ago an 11-year-old who hacked into the voting system, and it just feels to me, as suspicious and cynical as I am, it feels like they just want to leave the possibility that if the case they ever need to go in and do something. Now, I think they're probably doing things all the time, but I can't prove that, so I don't talk about it a lot, but it just feels to me like there's this kind of back door in case somebody really needs to, and I don't put it past them to be in Washington, D.C. and say, look, we're going to secure your seat here. We got a little something we can do with the machines down here, but we're also going to, you need to secure our seat over here. You know what I mean? Some quid pro quo stuff. It seems like too easy of a problem to solve that they haven't solved it.
Correct. I agree with you. Good show.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate the call.
Don't forget to vote. Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, I will be getting to the polls. I will not forget to vote. I'm going to go be a lunchtime voter today. See, I've got a pretty small polling precinct, so yeah, I don't get it really. The good thing is I don't ever have to wait for an hour. You see these people waiting for 3 hours in some cities to vote. I mean, does anything tell you about the inefficiency of government that would take 3 hours to go in and do a 30-second process and they can't get people moving through there? But I will go vote today, and I will be happy to cast a vote for Chris McDaniel. I'm rarely ever given a choice where I'm actually kind of happy to do it. I was happy to vote for Donald Trump. I was happy to go in, and now I can't remember who I voted for in the primary or if I voted. If Rand Paul was still around, I probably might have voted for Rand Paul, even though he was disappointing on a few things. But at least he has that libertarian streak. Might have given me something. I will go vote for today enthusiastically for Chris McDaniel, hoping that tomorrow we wake up and find something has changed in Mississippi, that Mississippi is actually. Well, I'm coming up with probably a little bit raunchy. Mississippi has dropped a pair and decided that we don't have to do what the establishment tells us to do. Is that distasteful the way I said that? I kind of stuttered on that. Sometimes I get in my head, and you know, I'll throw some expletives around when I get fired up in my real life. There's times you hear me pause where it says the machine's going, and I'm going, okay, let's civilize this thing up. Let's class it up a little bit, Mike. Try to find something better to say. But I'll be interested to see if by tomorrow Mississippi has actually taken the power back away from the establishment for the first time in a long, long time. I will enthusiastically vote for Chris McDaniel. I will also enthusiastically support Danny Bedwell as the Libertarian candidate running against Roger Wicker. And again, I guess I should have been doing this all along. If you want to give me an impassioned plea as to why I should spend any time voting for Roger Wicker, explain that to me. But I got to tell you, it's a pretty high hurdle to get me to not vote for a Libertarian in that. And knowing it's not going to work, I just want to see those vote totals go up for a Libertarian, make the Republicans maybe a little bit nervous that maybe they should start delivering on some of the things they say, or maybe we'll find a new home. I'm ready to find the new home now. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike, it's Brian. How are you doing?
Good, Brian. What's going on?
Hey, I already voted this morning, but one thing, next election I'm going to do is leave a paper trail and early vote. I think that has increased in popularity because it leaves a paper trail.
How is that? I don't even know. I've never early voted. What's the paper trail that occurs during that process?
Well, you got to fill out the ballot on paper.
Right, but do you get a copy of that to keep or anything, or you just fill it out on paper and then it goes, then you give it to them?
Then you give it to them, but it still leaves a paper trail, where if you go in and vote, you get nothing and it leaves nothing.
Well,
so you've got to hope the little counter on the machine actually recorded who you voted for.
Well, that's the big question, is that you still have to hope that if you don't have a receipt for it. Here's what has happened. It was very interesting. I really encourage people to watch this documentary called Black Box Voting. They had this situation where they had an election. When they went back and looked at the results, they found that one of the candidates, and I'm just going to make these numbers up because the numbers themselves are not important. It's the way it was tallied. One candidate got 10,142.6 votes. Now, what that was, how does 0.6 of a person, how does anybody get 0.6 of a vote? Well, what they found was, and this was in the days of what you're talking about, Brian, a paper scanned ballot. The machine had been manipulated. Somebody had gotten in there to where the result was predetermined that one candidate was going to get 53% of the vote and the other candidate was going to get 47% of the vote or whatever those numbers were. All these numbers are, I'm making these up. But the point was, when they looked at it and said, wait a second, they got 0.6 of a vote. How is that possible? See, once that thing goes in there and goes into a computer of any type, it is just ripe for all kinds of, I mean, whether it's just flat out hacking, whether it is manipulation. I mean, I do not have any faith with the people that we have in charge, the bureaucracy. We're looking at a federal government that has just basically admitted spying on the Trump administration. You think they wouldn't change some one of us little normals votes out here?
Well, Mike, that's the thing with early voting and having that piece of paper. If there's ever a question, they can go back and look at all of those early ballots.
Yes, I do agree with you there. Yes, at least there is something physical. Yes.
And you having a personal receipt does nothing, because what if I don't know who you voted for? You may have voted. I voted for candidate A. You voted for candidate C. But it recorded both of us as voting for candidate B.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's a point well taken. And yes, at least there is a box somewhere that they can pull them out and actually vote. I do agree with you. The machines that I vote on is strictly electronic. And once you push submit or send or cast your vote or whatever it is, man, it's just whoosh. It's just out there. There's just no telling where that thing goes.
Yeah, it's gone and out of your control as to what actually happened. But that's why I say next election, I'm going with early voting.
Yeah, well,
that way at least I left some kind of a paper trail so they can go back in and double check.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we know it's ripe for fraud, and you know, I mean, I don't trust them. I do not trust them. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the call.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I know why we have to go to a war with Iran.
Oh, good. Please convince me. Why?
Didn't they attack George Washington and Trenton?
Was that the Iranians?
That could have been. You know that. They were dressed up funny, you know. It could have been Iranians.
Well, they do hate us for our freedom. I'm sure
that's right.
Yeah, I'm sure that will come out any day now that they hate us for our freedom. So maybe you're onto something, Brian.
I was going through all the wars, you know, and I came up with it had to have been in Trenton at George Washington.
Okay. Well, I'll investigate that. Good to know. Thanks, man.
Okay, Mike. All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. A couple of weird little tech stories. If you want to weigh in on Wicker or Cindy Hyde-Smith or anything else on the midterms, you'll have a few minutes on the backside. But there's a couple of kind of creepy little funny tech stories. I'm trying to – my Tech Tuesday segment is really – it's a little bit on life support. I need some kind of a technologist, somebody who's really into this stuff that can explain things to me that I could riff off of. That would be a better segment. But still, I keep running across these stories where I go, uh-oh, this might not be a good development. I'll be right back for that.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being.
Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment for Election Day today. Listen, go out and vote. If you think that that's going to help something, go out and do it. If you really want to do something good for yourself, today is Tuesday. Tomorrow I'm going to have Jordan Townsend, nutritionist, on from Naturally You in Ridgeland. And he's always a popular guest. And so he'll be on tomorrow from 10 to 11 o'clock. But tonight from 6:15 to 7 o'clock at Naturally You, 500 Highway 51 in Ridgeland, they'll be doing one of their free informational seminars where they teach you how they use whole food nutrition through supplementation to help you regain your health. If you've got health problems, do yourself a favor and go, you know, all this politics stuff aside, man, if you ain't got your health, you ain't got anything. So if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired or just ready to feel better, go check them out. But give them a call first. They get some big groups coming in to check that out. Their number is 601-790-2790, 601-790-2790, or visit them at naturallyyou.fit. In the waning moments of our show today, there's a couple of things. One was I saw a story that that said that a teacher went berserk. It was somewhere in Africa, went berserk, and they just showed him he was just smashing all the kids that had to put their cell phones into a big pile, like out on the playground or something. And this teacher was just going through and smashing every one of them with a hammer. I was surprised it was in Africa when I saw this clip. I thought immediately when I saw the headline, teacher goes crazy and smashes children's iPhones, I figured it might have been here in Madison. I can't imagine what these teachers put up with. I'll bet you there are teachers that this was almost like some kind of an educational porn to them, just watching this teacher smash the cell phones of these kids who wouldn't quit using them in class. I'm surprised that has not happened here yet. If I was a teacher, I think I might have already gone over that brink. A couple little quick technology things. One of them was kind of funny. Well, no, I'll do the sick one first. This is going to be really creepy, particularly to ladies out there, I would imagine. The sex bots. I should have done a bigger segment on this. It's got to be a big ratings draw when I get to the sex bot stories. But, you know, these sex bots, this whole thing is creepy. I think it could doom humanity. You can create your ideal spouse exactly the way they look, the way, you know, when they get to be where they're indistinguishable from human beings. What do you think is going to happen to the mating rituals of Americans and or people around the world when you can actually create someone who never argues with you, who always is happy to see you? I mean, there's just no telling what's going to happen to interpersonal relationships. Creepy to me, but it seems like a danger. Now they are introducing sex bots that you can bring a picture. Somebody that you've had a crush on in the past, maybe you couldn't land them, and you can actually create them in a sex bot. I mean, that seriously, like, just creeps me out. Can you imagine at some point something happens? One of your friends goes over to someone's house and, you know, calls you, Carol, I hate to tell you this, but you remember Gary, that guy you would not go out with? Well, I happened to be at his house today, and he has a full-size replica of you. I mean, it's just, oh, my gosh. This is a bad trend, people. I'm telling you, this is a bad trend. And here's another one. I had heard several years ago that Facebook was, at that time, was involved in something like 60% of divorces. You know, Facebook is the hookup place for former relationships primarily. You know, you reach out, you find the old girlfriend, you start talking. After you've been in a marriage for a while, they start making you feel special. Your marriage has grown a little stale. And suddenly, you know, there's an affair. I mean, the Facebook has been wildly known for this. So it's been a big thing of divorces. But I've got a new one. They came out with a story. I don't have time to get into it and actually look at it. They've miniaturized drones. They showed one that was slightly heavier than a toothpick. The problem has always been being able to power these drones, because the power source generally has some weight to it, so they've been having trouble miniaturizing them, but apparently they've cracked that code. Now, let me just paint a picture for you exactly how this is going to work out. At some point in your life, in our lives, we are going to have to question, when you leave the door open on a summer's night or any time, and you see a fly buzz into the house and perch upon one of the blades of the not-used ceiling fan above you. There will come a time where we will have to question, is that a fly or is that a drone? I have a feeling this will rear its ugly head in divorce cases, too, because there will be limitless spying on each other. Now, it will not be reserved to that. It will be neighbor on neighbor. It will be everything. When we have to worry about the insects coming into our home as to whether or not they are biological insects that are nuisances called pests, or whether they are surveillance tools for the neighbor, a spouse, an ex, or the government, that is not going to be a good thing. Beware the tiny drone. It will be a wrecker in this society. All right, that's about all the time I've got today. Go out and vote today. I'm heading out there. I'm voting for Chris McDaniel to try to break up the good old boy network. I'm tired of them telling us who to vote for, and I'm sure going to vote in the other Senate election to vote for Danny Bedwell, the Libertarian candidate. Let's get the Libertarian numbers up just for giggles. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.